Today's daf is daf Samach Dalet. So we take it from a few lines down, Samach Dalet Amar Alf at the two dots where it says Tanur Rabbanon. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tanur Rabbanon, Kol ha-nitalin v'nigrarin sveikan tamay, b'pnei shehen kumunachin, v'nizrakin sveikan tar, chutz mina kezayis v'ameis v'amal pnei adama. I'll read the whole statement, then we'll go back and figure it out. So again, the Bari says, "Kol ani talim." So anything that's taken, let's look for the Mefarish here. The Tosos I see speaks here. Tosos says, "Kol ani talim adam omed b'mayim." If an individual person standing in the water, v'chaveru hayu mishalshel sheretz, a person is lowering down a sheretz, one of the types of insects that are tamei. Safik naga bo adam ho omid b'bayim. So as the individual on the outside is lowering down the sheret, it's unclear whether the person who's standing in the water actually touches it. I'm not sure why we're making a situation where the guy is standing in the water. I'm not sure why it has to be that way.
The English says the Russian doesn't say anything about water.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. So it's a situation where it's unclear whether the person had touched the sheretz. Oh, vanigrarim is next case. There was something that was dragging. There's a string that was dragging. If you look at the Tosfos again, oh, vanigrarim shaya chaver gorer sheretz al penemayim. Person, I don't know, he's walking a sheretz on a leash or something, and he's dragging the sheretz along the surface of the water. And the same thing, safeg nagos sveiko, and he's not sure whether the person's standing in the water again, or according to the rush, wherever the person is standing, unclear whether or not he had touched this sheretz that's being dragged. The loch is that sveikan tamei. We assume that since it's individual safek, it's tamei b'pnei shehen kemunachim. Because since they're considered stationary, since it's either dragging or it's being held in the person outside the water, the outside person's holding the sheretz, that's considered kemunachim, the din of tamei. If you just look at the Mefarish, says, sveikan tamei, shekol ha-nigrar v'anital kemo shein munachim dami. Anybody who's dragging something or he's taking something, it's considered as if it's placed. V'avik kesavik tumah b'rishus yachid, the sveiko tamei, and the klal is that if the suffik occurs in a rishus yachid, so then we're going to view this as tamei. We're so it's a suffik, it's a tumah. The gamrinan misota, the chesiv bevin distra v'hine tumah. The source of Safik Brishus Yachid Tameh is from Sota, because Sota, the case is if a woman is going to be in a place of secrecy with a man that she was warned not to be with, and she's in a place of secrecy and it's only him and her, there's no other third person there, that's considered Brishus Yachid, and she's Tameh. So since the Pasuk says Nitma, we apply it to all the cases of real Tumah. Again, the case of Sota is not real Tumah, it's talking about whether she's mutter to her husband or not. But we say, just like there, we assume she's Tameh, so too we assume elsewhere, if it's the case of Rishus Yachid, only two people, then or one, two or one person, it's going to be Tameh. Avaim hayin nizrakin, says the Mefarsh, if they're being thrown, dibishas rikasin safik nagavim adam v'kelim, safik lo naga. But if it's being thrown, and then there's a safik, whether the person had touched it while it's in the process of being thrown, then the safik is tahor. The law amrinan, we don't say, says the Mefarsh, kluta kumishun chadami. The fact that it's being thrown and it's in the airspace of a ground, we don't say it's viewed as if it's lying down because it's actually moving. We rather, ela kituma tsafa demaya, vedamiya vasab feiko tar. It's like water, as if rather a sheretz is floating along the water, passing with the current, where it's not being viewed as being dragged or taken. It's not viewed as kumunachim, it's moving. When it's being moved, it's not considered as if it's stationary and not rishus yachid, and therefore the safek would be tahor. So let's read this whole brayson out together. The Tanur Rabbanan kol nitalim v'nigrarin, anything where it's, the sheretz is being taken or dragged, it's sveikan tamei. B'pnei shein kumunachim, we view them as being dragged because there's some friction there. It's either being held or dragged. There's friction, it's viewed as if it's kumunachim. Hanizrakim, where it's being thrown, it's free in the air, then it's a safik sveikan, whether someone touched it, the lach is tar, chutz, the only exception is, min kezayis hames, if there's a kezayis of flesh from a dead body, v'amal al pnei ha-tuma, or someone's an ohel of tuma, the chol davar shemitami milamal kilamata. So what are these three cases now? So the Mefarsh says here, chutz min ha-kizayis min ha-meis v'amal ha-pnei ha-tumo shemitami milamala v'milata l'sui zav v'zava. Kolomar says in Mefarsh, chutz min ha-kizayis min ha-meis shezark ha-gavi adam o-taharos. If a person throws a piece of flesh of a corpse over a person, or above taros, uvein shezark taros kol ha-kizayis min ha-meis, or you throw the taros, and the taros are now flying over the dead, Kazayas. Oha Adam Atzmo Dalagalav, where an individual jumps, he leaps over this Kazayas Shalmeis. Vesafek hu im Ehel of Shesveko Tamim. Unclear whether or not he became the Ohel or he was under the Ohel. Any situation like that, the halacha is Shesveko Tamim. Lefisha Metamim Lamala Beklamata. Because in this case, the whole of who can Metamish Lo and Beginagia could go an idea Ohel. So when talking about a case of Nagia, so then if it's being Nizrak being thrown, we could say Sveik Otar. But once it's a OL situation, the OL views it as if there's Tumma from top to bottom, then even though we're viewing something as Rika, as not being Munachim, it's not stationary, it has a strong power of OL being Tame from top to bottom, so the individual Sveiko will be Tame, even though we're not sure if he actually became part of the OL or not. Okay. So then the Gemara says, continuing the Mefarish rather, that which the Brayta lists another case of a Kazai Shameis or Mal Pnei Tumma, it seems to be the same case. The Lo Tzarach Lemisei was not needed to be taught. Elo Chutz Mekazai Shameis. A Mal Alav. That's one situation. Didn't have to separate it. A Mal Pnei Tumma. So why was that taught? Lasuye says, the Mefarish explaining the Gemara, that's extra Lasuye Zav Zavra, to include a man or woman who is a Zav or a Zava, who is Shematame Nami Milamala Kilamata Bevin Misame. The Zav or Zava is Matame from top to bottom regarding Evin Misame, which is what, says the Mefarish? Shem Yoshev Zav al Evin, if a Zav sits on a rock, or a Zava sits on a rock. Val Kalim Val Adam Shehem Besocha Bor Tachas Evin. And below the stone is a pit, some type of cave that's filled with kalim, or maybe a person's below that. Nitma ha'adam va'kalim kimo b'maga atzmo. Even though he's sitting above the stone, the tumma of the zav and the zava penetrates through the stone below and through the person or the kalim that might be below him to mitamim. That's a special din. It tells us v'cheinim ha'zav milmata v'tor yoshev al evan misame. So too, if the zav is below and there's a person tar sitting above on this rock on the roof, that tumma is going to penetrate through the top of the rock and hit the person who's tar. So that's the halach we learn from this brisa. Now, Gemara wants to know the following shaila. Boi Rami Barchama Mace Bekli Vekli Tzaf Al Pnei Amayim. If there's a dead body that's in a kli, and the kli now is floating on the water, so what's the halacha? Mahu Baser Kli Azlinan or Baser Misa Azlinan? Do you go based on the kli and the kli is moving? Since the kli is moving, so we view this as being Nizrak, and if the person's standing in the water and there's a suffix whether he touched the kli or not, it's going to be Tahor because it's being Nizrak, it's being moved along the current. Or do we go based on the mace, and the mace is actually stationary in the kli, and since the mace is stationary, it would be Safik Brishas HaYachid, and the individual in the water would be Tame. That's the Safik of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Imtim Salomar, if you want to say Basa Kli Azlina, you go based on the kli, and the kli is actually moving, so the individual will be a Safik Tahor, Mace Agave Sheretz Mahu. Let's say there's a mace that's lying on top of a Sheretz now. Mahu, what's Alacha? Do we say Kaven the high tumas erev high tumas shiva kimandi machse tuma bechli damya? Do we say since the sheretz, even though the sheretz is tummy in its own right, and the mace is tummy in its own right, but since the levels of tuma, one to one day tuma only, and then he can become tower, and the mace is a 7 day tummy, so then this is very different. We view the mace as being separate from the sheretz, and the tummy therefore is the mace is actually being viewed as being held by the sheretz as two separate entities, and we would say, you go based on the kli, in this case the sheret, and it would be moving, the individual would be tahor. Or Dilma, or do we say perhaps, or Dilma, tuma smichasahim, or do we say perhaps the tuma is adjacent to each other? So if you look at the Rashi, Mefarish, in the medium wide lines down, the second to last medium wide line down, O Dilma, the end of the line, he says, O Dilma, ha tuma ava smichtahi, we view this as a thick, a built up, a fat type of tumah, became in the tzuf sheretz kitaf mace dami, demachti bekli dami. I skipped a lot, there's a parenthesis there. So therefore, what are we saying? I think we're viewing this as one thick tumah, in other words, that they're the same thing. They're the same thing, and therefore what? It's going to be tzaf either way. Then either way, it's going to be viewed as nizrach. In both studim, we said, and we assume if you go based on the kli, so the kli is moving, so then based on top of a sheretz, do we say That's so strange. So I misread this then. We go based on the Kli again. I'm not following the Shiloh because if we're going based on the Kli, so then we're saying Tahor because the Kli is moving. So the first side is if you view the tum, the base being in the Sheretz as being separate entities, so the Sheretz is the Kli, so we should say Tahor then. Because the Sheretz is now the Kli, and we're passing the Kli is, we go based on the Kli. But here the Gemara is suggesting that it's going to be Tameh if you view them as being separate and the Sheretz being the Kli.
I think that's the Shiloh. I think it's making the Shiloh the first, it's not answering anything.
But it's supposed to be these two, the second stage now, it's supposed to be two different stuff, because the other side, where you say Tumas Smichtahi, which is the other side of the Shiloh, we're saying they're one entity, then we're saying, I mean, Sheret and Mace is the same thing, there's no Kli to talk about here, then it's moving also, it's going to be considered Nizrak, and it would be Sveiko Tahor as well. But the first side, even the Masifta is explaining, the first side should be, it's saying, it's Safek Tuma, Sveiko Tame. But I don't see the logic of that. Why should it be Sveiko Tame? Did it say Sveiko Tame in the first side there? If you view the Sheretz as being Kiman de Machte B'tumah B'Kli Damya?
It is as if the tumor was placed inside a container, or perhaps it is one thick mass of tumma, no container.
And the first side, does it say whether it be tamer, whether it be tahor?
Let me see the first side.
Okay, I see. I misunderstood the Shiloh and the Gemara. There's some. Okay. When the Gemara had the Shiloh, whether we go based on the Kli, and here the change of gear said it shouldn't be mace, it should be Maya. Should be the Shiloh, should be Maya. That's the gear that it has in the Masifta. Do you go based on the Kli, that the mace in the Kli, and therefore it's stationary? Or do you go based on the water, and therefore it's moving? That's how we have to understand it. So if you assume it goes based on the Kli, and the mace is stationary with respect to the Kli, it's all relative now to the Kli, it's considered stationary in Tame. So now, when you have the Sheret holding the mace, so do you go based, since the Sheret and mace are different Tumas, view the Sheret as being a Kli, and the mace is stationary with respect to the Kli, and therefore Tame, or do you view this as one thick piece of a tumma, and it's viewed as connected to the mayim, and therefore tahor? That's how we have to review the suffix. That's what it explains here. So back to the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Vimtim Talomar, the second Imtim Talomar now, Imtim Talomar, Kemand Machti Tumma Bekli Damya. If you view the mace as being in a Kli, and therefore it would be Tame, because we view relative to the Kli, the mace is stationary. Relative to the Sheret, it's stationary. The Tame, Vada Sheret Agavi Nevela. A Sheret is on a Nevela, Vinevela Tzafa, and now the Nevela is floating in the water. Mahu, Kevin Dir Tavayu Tumas Erev Einun Tamas Smichlehi. It's one Tuma, since they're both only a one day Tuma, viewed as one package, and therefore it's considered floating. But or do we say, since they have different shirim, that nevela needs a kazayis of nevela to be metame, but a sheretz only requires a kadasha, a smaller shir. So maybe it should be viewed as different tumas, and it should be viewed as the nevela being the kli, and the sheretz being on top of the kli and tame. So therefore, again, Odilma, do you say high kazayis high kadasha? Then the Gemara says, what about sheretz agave sheretz? Mahu, honey, vade chad shirin. You know, this is one of the same sherets on top of a sherets. They're both tame one day. They both are a tuma and a kadasha, and therefore it's viewed as one tuma, and it's viewed as moving down the river. Or since they're two different entities, we view them as being separate, and the one sheret is on top of the other sherets, it's viewed as being munachas, and considered stationary and resting. Vimtim shalomar sherets agavi sherets kevin de mefafski mahadadi kamad de machs bekli damya. Let's say you assume that they're viewed as two different entities, and one sheretz on top of the other sheretz is viewed as if it's one sheretz on top of a kli, and the top sheretz is viewed as being munachas. So then the shaila goes further now. What about sheretz agave nevela sheni mucha? What about if sheretz is on top of a nevela, and nevela had been somehow melted, pulverized, and something that it's not in its original form? It got ruined. So what's halacha going to be there? I guess they kind of like they melted and meshed together. So mahu kevin dimucha havilei mashke, since it now melted, it's all one liquid, and they're one entity, odim hayuchlahu, or do we still view the nevela as being a food, and therefore be viewed as being stationary on top of the nevela? Mimtim Shalom of the Gemara says, if you want to suggest that the Uchla, we view the Nevela, even though it's the Muach, it's still considered an Ochel, and the Sheretz on top of the Ochel is considered a Sheretz on top of a Kli. Do we say, Sheretz Agavi Shich Vazara Mahu? What's a Lach on Shich Vazara? So what's the Shala here? So the Mefarish says all the way in the bottom now, he says, Sheretz four lines up, Sheretz Agavi Shich Vazara, the Shich Vazara Tzaf Al Mipnei Mai Mahu, the Shich Vazara is floating above the water. Since this is not considered food, it's certainly considered a liquid. And vahu sheretz tzaf sveikotar. And we view the shich hazar as part of the water now, I guess. And the sheretz is floating on top of the water, and therefore it should be tahor. It's like being thrown along the water. Vimtim shlomer, if you want to say, says the Gemara, the last three lines on the Yomid, kevin de misakre havle ki uchla. So since it's been the shich hazar had been discharged from the body, it's not similar to other liquids. So if you look at Rashi, he explains here, Vimtam Salomar Kavan Shinis Akra, Mibisaro Shaldam Mamish. It's completely discharged and disconnected from the individual. Below Dami the Sharmash, it's not similar to other types of liquids, bodily fluids, Shibisoko, that are inside a man. Kagon Meiraglam Shimukhunasam the Soko, Havla Shikhazar Kiyukhla Dusamichu. Or do we view, since other bodily fluids are part of the body in there, the part of the fabric of the body, so therefore that's considered a liquid, but somehow for this, I'm not sure there's svar for this, but since Sheikh Lazar is considered a separate entity, separate element from within the person, and so therefore it should not be considered, it should be considered more uchla than in mashkin. I'm not really getting the svar so much. So then the Gemara says again, Vim Tim Salomar came into Misakri Havlik Ochla. Since it's completely discharged from man and separate from a person, it's viewed as Ochel, and therefore a Sheretz on top of it would be viewed as a Sheretz on top of a Kli, and therefore be considered stationary and Sveikotame. So then what about the final Shala is, Sheretz Gao, not this final one, Sheretz Agave Mechatas, if Sheretz is floating on top of some waters of the Chatas, and Mechatas Tzofon Agave Maim, and the Mechatas is now floating on top of the water, what do we say? Mahu Liyadinan Teiko, they don't know the final answer. And let's just read that final Mefarish here on the Amud here. Sheretz Agave Mechatas. Umechatas Ovenhein. Mechatas is thicker because it has some ashes mixed in. It's not stam water. There's ashes in there from the Paraduma. Bipnei Eifa Paraduma, Shebehani says. Mihavaka Ochla. So therefore, it's a little bit thicker consistency. Maybe that's considered more like food and would be viewed as a separation between the Sheretz and the water. Well, Dilma Mashka Havi, it's still considered liquid. Vihavaka Sheretz Safas Fekotar. It's as if it's mamish being floating on top of the water. We ignore the Mechatas being there and therefore it should be Sveikotar. And we don't know the answer to that. Therefore, we ended a taking. Okay, some interesting sveikos there. Okay, the Gemara now says in the top of Amud Beis, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Nazir v'Osef Pesach. So a person's a Nazir, and he's on the way to perform the mitzvah of the Karban Pesach. Shehalchu b'kever atahom b'shvi. And after he, let's get the case here. If you look at the top Mefarish here, the case is that Amar Rav Hamnuna Nazir v'Osef Pesach shenitma b'tumas meis. A Nazir, and he wants to perform the Pesach, becomes Tameh with a mace, and he's Tameh for at least 7 days. The Lach is on the day 3 and day 7 of his becoming Tameh. Those day 3 and 7, he's going to receive the sprinklings of the Mechat, that's the Parduma. On day 7, he passed over Kever Tahom, which is a Tumah. He became Tameh in something that wasn't Yadua. A tumah that wasn't yadua, it was hidden from people. They weren't sure about this tumah. What happens is he ends up bringing the carbon pesach on Erev Pesach, and then after the fact, he finds out that he actually passed over this hidden tumah on the seventh day. And so back to the Gemara. Let's read this whole statement inside. So Amar Rav Hamnuna. Nazir rosa pesach shahalchu bekever tom. So he's a nazir. At the same time, he's bringing the carbon pesach and he shechs the erev pesach, the carbon pesach on erev pesach, and he passes over the kever tom along the way, not knowing that's the definition of kever tom. It's a tumah that it's unknown. And b'shvi, the day 7, after he became completely tahor, he hits this kever tom. The lach is tahorin. Why? My time. Why is this guy tahor? The lo alima tumas hatom lemistar. The tumas hatom, this hidden unknown tumah, it's hidden below this kever, is not strong enough to destroy Meaning what? So if you look at the Mefarish, she says Tahorin. V'yafa gavti nitmu b'shvi shalhen, even though it became tamei on day 7. D'lo alima hach tumas atom l'mistar hol v'kvar aver v'nita l'kishinitma b'tumas atom. Since he was already tahor, this hidden tumma does not have the ability to be sosa what he has done already. Had it been a real tumma, then enechanami would have ruined it. But this he didn't really know. It was tumas tom is a much less severe. So Gemara says, Mesiv Rava Yara Litar Mitumasa Mes. A person became Tama and he went down to the mikvah to be completely Tahor from the Tumasa Mes. Tame, he's Tame. We'll read the Mefarsh in a second. Shechezkas Tame Tame. Shechezkas Tartar. So if you look at the Mefarsh, he says, Mesiv Rava Yara Litabol Litar Mitumasa Mes. He went to the mikvah to finally complete all his Tuma. Benimtsa Mes Meshuka Bekarka Amara Tame. So as he goes down into this mikvah, he finds that buried below in this karka of this cave he entered into is a dead body. He's tame. Shecheskas tame tame. Because a person has a chazak of tame. Before the mikvah, he had a cheskas tame. Yes, he was about to become tar, but he wasn't tar yet. And he wasn't sure. This was a hidden tuma. It was mashuka. It was hidden below. And he found that after he went to the mikvah that it was there. That since he wasn't fully tar yet, we have to assume cheskas tame tame. And the Befarsh continues to explain, V'hachanami came into Havi B'cheskas Tami B'shvi Shalao. Since the day 7, he didn't complete his Tara until sunset. So he's still Tami on day 7. Kishinitba B'kevar Tahom, L'fisha Dain Lo Gilach Taglach, Hasatumat Dinaziris, Lo Harif Shimsha. Since he didn't yet receive his shaving of the hair of the Nazir, of the completion of the Nazir Batuma. He has to shave his hair, as we know already, after he has to wait 7 days from his Naziris. So he didn't shave his hair yet, so he's still holding by the Tuma. And there wasn't a santa yet. You have to do it after going through the mikvah and after shkiyas hachama. So the guy is still considered tameh here. So when a person who's tameh comes into contact with tumas tahom, even though he only finds out about this later on, he's tameh because cheskas tameh tameh. So how come here by shvi shalo of the carbon pesach we say tahor? Samar lei. So the response back is modini lecha benazir shemuchus taglachas. I agree to you, if the person was a situation of a Nazir, then in a Hanami, he would be Tame if he encountered a Tumas Tahom. I'm talking about a Osa Pesach alone. A guy who's doing Osa Pesach and then became Tame, 7th day, he's already Tar. So let's read the Mefarish there. Mefarish says, Amar lei modin lecha bin Nazir, but the came in it, but by Yom Shvi Shalo, called him Taglachas de Tame. If we were dealing with a Nazir, and on the 7th day, he came into contact with this Tumas Tahom, this hidden Tuma, so then, Enechami, I agree to you that the taglachas prevents him, and he would still be considered cheskas tamei. V'afilu kilo nadolan lachar giluch tatara, even though he may have found that 50 days later, already after he completed his nazir batara, even and got the character for the nazir batara, b'shum de mechusim taglachas tuma ki nitma b'kever tohom. If he became tamei before he received the taglachas, he came into contact with the tumas tohom before he received the taglachas, the cheskas tamei, and everything's ruined. He has to start all over again. So I agree to you in that case. Okay, so Amar Lei Rava. Now Rava says back to Rav Hamnuna, "Af ani modin lach. I agree to you, be nazir, rather be osa pesach. Regards to osa pesach, de lo mechusar v'loklum. I agree to you by karen pesach on day 7. The guy became tamei, no nazir right now. Just a regular guy became tamei. On day 7, he becomes tahor and he does the osa pesach." And afterwards, he had realized on day 7, before he brought the Pesach, he had encountered a Tumas Tahom. Says Rava, I would agree to you as well that the guy would be completely Tahor, because he was Becheskas Tahor on day 7. So then the Gemara says, Amar Le Abaye, Abaye says, V'hamachus Ahav Shemesh, wait a second. On day 7, the guy is not completely Tahor. Forget the case of Nazir, just the regular guy who became Tameh. And he brought the carbon Pesach on his day 7. So he says he's not missing any mice anymore. He did everything he needs to do. So therefore, he's considered cheskas tahor. But Abaye says he's not tahor yet because you need Harav Shemesh. You need sunset for the guy to be completely tahor. And since there's no sunset yet, he should be still tamei. And if he came into contact with Tumas Tahom, and then he brought the carbon Pesach, he should retroactively not be considered a good carbon. So the response is, no, Amalei, Shim Shim Mela Arva. No, the son said something that's going to happen automatically. It's not in his hands. It's not a mice that's lacking. It's going to automatically happen. So we view this as if it already happened, and he's considered Tahor, and he's able to bring the Karban Pesach. The Afa Bai Hadarbay, and even Abai himself retracted on his Kasha here. The Tani, the Brisa says, Yom Malais Tavi, Toch Malos Lo Savi. So it's referring to the Yoledes. So the Mefarsh explains what's going on here. That the three Y lines down in the Mefarsh, he says, Yom Malais Tavi, Im Chazavi, Pila Bayom Malais Lazachar. So I'll just say that maybe I'll explain this outside. The halacha is, we're not actually going to tissue, sorry. Okay, so the halacha is that after a woman gives birth, a yoledes, so whether it be a girl or a boy, she has certain days of tumah v'tahara. So when a lady gives birth to a boy, the first 7 days she tame, and then the next 33 days, even if she sees dam, it's called dam tahar, she's tahar. Until day 40 she's supposed to bring a carbon yoledes. For nekeva, if she gives birth to a girl, so then she's tame for the first 14 days. After that, for the next 66 days, everything's doubled. For the next 66 days, even if she sees dam, she's considered dam tar, she's tar, until day 80. Then after day 80, day 81 that is, she has to bring a carbon yoledes. That's a basic structure. So let's say after those days, let's say she has a, within those time periods of day 40, day 80, somehow she has a miscarriage, she becomes a yoledes again, and then loses the child, so she has to bring another carbon. But if it's within the day 40s or day 80, that carbon is the same, it's subsumed in the same one. You bring one carbon for both. But if she has a miscarriage after that point, it's viewed as being a separate carbon. The question is, what about the day 80, the night of the 81st? So that's the Shaila, I believe. So let's look at the Mefarish for all this. The Mefarish says, the three wide lines down, Yom Leis Tavi, in the day of completion, she brings, meaning, if she has a miscarriage on the completion of the day of the Zachar, day 41, when that's the first day she's right to bring the carbon out, so on day 41, the Zachar, day 81 for Nekeva, tavish karbanos, because once you're in 81 or 41, it's viewed as a new time period, the 40 or 80 days before and are done, so you owe a carbon for that yoledes, and now it's considered a new yoledes after that day. She has to bring two separate karbanos. If she had a miscarriage within 40 days or within 80 days, respectively, then you don't have to bring a second carbon. The Amar Kura, the Pasuk says, "Zos terasa yoledes haTorah ribso akama v'lada sheish l'basoch yimileida." She may be carbon echad v'ocheles b'kachim vein hashir ele achova. There's a special example of if she has another miscarriage within that same time period of the first one, it's all going to be under one carbon. So that's the klal right now. So then the Gemara says again, so this is what I'm trying to prove, how Abai retracted, that Abai agreed that Herif Shemesh, sunset, is considered Mimela, and it's not considered a Mechusar Maisa. So the Gemara goes back to say again, let's quote this Brisa, the Brisa says, the Tanya, Yom Meleus Tavi, Toch Meleus Lo Savi, on day 81 and on, or day 41 and on, you have to bring a separate carbon. If it's within day 40 or within 80, you don't have to bring a new carbon. Yachal Lo Tavi Al Leida Shilif Ne Meleus. One might think that you don't bring a carbon on the Leda that was before the Mleos, before day 40 or day 80, but you bring a carbon on a Leda that's after day 40 or day 80, and you should be exempt from both of them. What does that mean? What's that kasha? So if you look at the Mefarish here, he says, Yachal lo savi aval tavi al shalachar mleos, meaning, Shim yalda nekeva besoch shmonim, if she gives birth to a girl within the 80 days of a previous girl. Vilacha shavu shmonim, after 80 days pass, the Rishona of the first one, Chazuva yalda nekeva besoch shmon shashnia, she gives birth to another daughter within the 80 of the second, but not 80 of the first one. So Yachal Shetavi Carbon Al Rishona Val Shlishis Levishulachem Leos Sharishona. So what happens now? So it says she gives birth to a child, and then there's 80 days as a girl. So then let's say on day 40, I'm confused. Let's say do day 50. Day 50 she has another miscarriage. So that's included. Number 2 is included within 80. But then day 100, let's say. So day 100 is not within the 80 of the first child, but it's only 50 days after the second child, so it's connected to the second child. So maybe you would think baby 1, baby 2 are included under 1. But since baby 3 is born day 100, it's not included under baby one, it should require its own second, its own separate carbon. So the Gemara says, Tama Lomar says, read that again inside that Shiloh. Yachal lo savi aleda shlefne meleos. You don't bring a leda, a carbon on a leda that happens before day 80. Aval tavi aleda shalachar meleos. But you have to bring a carbon on a leda that's born after meleos, even though it's within the meleos of the second yalda. V'tifar v'tamishdayen. Tama Lomar umeleos yimei Torah biyom meleos tavi toch. Mleos lo savi. Only if it's afterwards do you bring it, but if it's within you, don't bring it. I guess what we're trying to prove from here, that, so the Mefarish explains here, Tamalomer, Uvim Mleos, Dimashma Kolz Mancha Yol de Beyom Mleos, Beshash Arui Lahavi Bacarbon, Tischai Bacarbon Ashtan, Aval Toch Mleos lo savi, Zuhol, Vahibasoch Mleos Shoshnia lo savi. So the only time that you're allowed to, that you're required to bring a new carbon is if you're in a time where you're allowed to bring carbonos. So, if it's after day 80 where she's able to bring carbonos, then she has another miscarriage, then she brings a separate carbon. But since her 80 days, since she had another child or miscarriage at day 50, so now you need another 80 days from then, you extend the time period where she's able to bring a carbon, so it's going to continue and extend itself by additional children, so even though it might be 300 days later from the first baby shed, if she continuously has miscarriage within 80 and 80 of each other, it's going to be viewed as one continuous carbon, because she never saw a moment where she's right to bring a carbon because she was continuously tame. Fine. So what's the raya from all this? So do we get to the raya? Let's see. So Amar Rav Kana, so Rav Kana says on this raisa, shiny hacha, now here's different, the mechasre carbon, here he's missing a carbon. But hasa nami mechasre erev shemesh. So if you look in the Mefarsh explains here, Mefarsh says, Amar Rav Kana, Kolomar, Amar Rav Kana, Allah, the Hayishaini Hachabaleda, the Lacher Meleos, after the completion of day 40 or day 80, my time alum Mechayiv the Yisuya Yala carbon, Mishim the Mechasri carbon. Why, and when the situation where there were three babies or three miscarriages, why is she not required to bring a new carbon on day 30? It's more than 8 days from birth of the first child. Because she's still lacking a mechusar carbon, she's lacking bringing the carbon. The chalchad v'chad de misyalda, each child that she gives birth to, la havi le b'shash she'ena ruya la havi b'carbon. She was never at a moment she was able to bring a carbon. Fine. So that's why it's viewed as considered all one elongated carbon. So then, Hasam Namis asks, so now they ask according to Rav Kana, Mechasei Harav Shemesh. So aside from that, so what about Harav Shemesh? Let's say on night of the 81, if I talk about 81, the night, let's see. So if you look at Tosfos Dibur Maskal, Hasam Nami Mechasei Harav Shemesh. There too also, if it's missing the sunset, says Tosfos, Kimo v'havinim ba hasam b'leid d'shalacha m'leos, amai tavi carbon l'leid d'shnia, when she completes the counting of days after the second birth, ha mechasre her shemesh, it's still missing sunset, kolomar mi lo askinan b'isha, shlo tavla, are we not referring to a woman who didn't do a tefillah, l'sof shvuyayim kolikar, she never did the mikvah, she never dipped into the mikvah after 2 weeks? So normally the halacha is that a woman, after the 2 weeks of giving birth to a girl, she's supposed to go to the mikvah, and then that point on, all the dam she sees is tahor. But the Brisa says, across the board, she always, on day 81, she's always able to bring the carbon. But why? Let's say we're talking about a woman who never went to the mikvah on the 14th day, where she's supposed to. She never went to the mikvah. So now all the days of tahara could have been tahor, are actually going to be tameh, because she never went to the mikvah. Fine. But still, the 80 days are over. Now comes day 81, she wants to bring her carbon, but she needs to go to the mikvah now. The halacha is, she's allowed to bring the carbon on day 81. But doesn't she need to go to the mikvah and wait till sunset? And really wait till 82? So that's the kasha. She's missing Harav Shemesh. How could the Gemara, the Brisa, say across the board on day 81, she always brings the carbon? I could create a situation where she has to wait till 82. So the Gemara answers back, and particularly Abai answers back, Amalei Abai, Shimsh Mimele Arva. The fact that she goes to mikvah day 81 and she needs to wait for the sunset, that's fine. We're okay with her bringing the carbon even though she's not actually tar yet, because the sunset's going to happen. It's going to happen automatically, and we don't view the sunset as being mechusar's maisa. So just like Abai says there, so to hear, even though Abai had asked that question, isn't sunset considered mechusar maisa? He ended up retracting, and that's what the Gemara tried proving here. He retracted from this halacha that he agrees that shimshim mimela arva, that the sun's going to automatically sunset, and therefore it's not going to be viewed as a mechusar maisa. Okay, so I guess we'll stop here. Another good stopping point. Shkoyach.